And so, did you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good?
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatchers from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We are coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do, and I'm glad you could join us down here. It's springtime, and I'm sure you're all like dusting off your brains and bodies and apartments and bikes and whatever and getting ready for the warm weather. And we're excited too, especially since there's not much else to be excited about in this world that we live in. So we're excited about that. You know what? That's not even true. You know, I know we're negative. And I guess because we have our special guest here from representing New York City Hardcore today, we should have like a PMA. But there is something that's worth getting excited about in our world today. And it's probably not the warm weather because that was kind of bullshit. I'm like trying to keep it light and like talk about weather. That was dumb. But there is something good to talk about. And that's the fact that whatever your position is about how gun laws are going to change the future of this country, whatever your position is on all that, that's sort of an interesting point and beside the point. But we just had like weeks of massive demonstrations by young people in this country we haven't seen in a very fucking long time. Not as long as the news has made it out, made it sound like the first time there's ever been a high school student as an activist since Vietnam. That's not true. But it is exciting to see so many people of a younger generation stepping forward and taking the control of future in their hands. And I'm pretty excited about that. I think there's a lot of positive things to think about on that front. And I think in some ways the negative backward bullshit that's been swirling around in the culture has in some ways helped people realize that they can't leave it up to someone else to do. And they need to take responsibility for their futures and our futures together themselves. And so, you know, I think that that's positive. I think it's positive that movies like Wonder Woman and Black Panther are out there, like, you know, making huge box office dents and that are fantastic films and are also putting people who haven't traditionally been seen as heroes in front of a new generation. I mean, there is some positive shit going on. I don't want to be super negative. So there's my PMA for the day. And we're going to get to some heavier issues throughout the episode. But if you ever feel down throughout the episode, you could think about the fact that there are good things happening within the confines of the shitstorm that we see in the world. But still, there are good things happening. So there's my PMA. And hopefully Dave Inziguri can help me with this today. Dave Hooligan is here from the New York City band Inziguri, representing the Bronx, representing Queens, representing New Jersey. Inziguri is going to come on the show today, and we're going to talk about their album that got released in 2017, Uptown Boogie Down. Fantastic album. Tons of really incredible New York City hardcore. To me, someone who is in the hardcore scene here, is in the punk scene here, I think Inziguri does an amazing job of representing New York City hardcore sound. And not a lot of newer bands are really trying that. There are some bands out there doing that. Like Examine also does a great job with this and holding down like a real New York City hardcore vibe. None Above All is doing the same thing. I mean, like super New York City hardcore sound deep down in the underground here in New York City. And I think Inziguri is doing some of the best of it. And we're going to play a bunch of tunes from their newest album, Uptown Boogie Down. And we're going to talk about the album. We're going to talk about some of the lyrics in the album. There's a couple of songs in there that I fucking just absolutely love and I want to talk to them about. But there's also some stuff in the newer album that I find interesting, contentious. And so obviously I want to start with that stuff because that's the stuff I feel like can really change our perspective. And that's the whole point of the show, is to hopefully talk to the brilliant, talented people out there making culture in New York City, in the punk scene, in the punk scene worldwide, wherever, in the artists activists, dreamers, fighters, anybody who's out there making this world a better place, hopefully with their culture or with their words or with their fists to you, that's fine. I want to talk to them and pick their brain and get at some of their perspective on how they see things. And Inziguri and Dave Hooligan are no different. We're going to talk to them about a lot of things, but we're going to talk to them about the changing New York City landscape. We're going to talk to them about what New York City folks call transplants, which are this plague or maybe good thing. I don't know. Of maybe good thing, maybe bad thing. We're going to get into it. People coming from other places to live in New York City, what New York City really represents, what is New York City hardcore. But all of that is, again, within the confines of us talking about this incredible band, Inziguri, and their new album, Uptown Boogie Down. So make sure you all check out Inziguri and their Bandcamp. InziguriNYC.bandcamp.com. Their album is up there, and their self-titled album, as people who know this show and people who've seen me write about great albums. I love their self-titled album, and I love Uptown Boogie Down too. So make sure you check all that out. Thank you in advance to Davey Hooligan for coming on the show, coming all the way down from the Bronx to be on the show. I appreciate that very much. He's super busy right now because he's getting married in like a month and a half. So he took time out of his super busy schedule to come and hang out with me and talk a little shit. I appreciate that, brother. I also should say thank you very much to his lovely wife-to-be, Caitlin Doyle. Thank you for letting your husband-to-be come down and talk some shit with me. I really appreciate it. I know he's got a lot of stuff to do, so he'll be back right away and get all the things done that you need to get done. Anyway, thank you very much, Caitlin and Davey. We're going to talk to Davey on the first part of the episode. We're going to play a couple of tunes. We're going to talk about some of the songs on the new album, the thought process, things they have going on. And we're also going to talk to them about some lineup changes in the band and sort of the future direction where things are going with Inziguri as well. And the second half of the show, we're going to talk a little bit about panic attacks. We're going to talk about anxiety. I know Davey has had some issues with it in the past, and I think he can help us get some perspective on these things. I'm sober and Dave is sober, and I think we can commiserate a little bit with the challenges of being sober and also the good things about being sober too. But I think we're going to talk a little bit about the challenges of being in super social settings that sometimes be somewhat uncomfortable and having to deal with it as a sober people. I personally, I fucking love it. I love conflict. I love differences and perspective changes and confronting weird, uncomfortable shit head on. I love seeing that. So I don't know if it's masochism or just a healthy outlook, but I dig it. And I'm curious how he looks at that situation and confronts some of the challenges he has with anxiety and panic attacks and those things. So if those are your issues, check it out. If they're not, you can hear some different opinions about something you haven't had to deal with. Luckily, you haven't had to deal with, and see how other people struggle through going to shows and putting on shows and how challenging that can be. So thank you, Dave, for being so open and honest about the challenges, and I'm excited to talk to you about it. We're going to get to it in a second, but before we do, I do want to holler out a couple things. I want to say thank you to Real Punk Radio, realpunkradio.com, for airing Dispatch from the Underground every Wednesday night at 11 p.m. Much love to all the programming over at realpunkradio.com. Also, I want to mention that there's a bunch of shows coming up. We're going to talk about them more in detail at the very end of the episode. There's a great benefit being done by Kate Hughes for Punk Island, and that benefit is going to be on March 31st. Dave Hooligan is going to be playing that show, doing a little solo set, so make sure you go to that. We'll talk again. We're going to talk about it more at the end of the episode, and we're going to get all the details from Davey about that cover show that's going to be on March 31st. But Dispatches is going to be doing our next show April 25th. That's a Wednesday, and we're bringing in a great band from Oregon called The Broken Dead. They're an incredible band. You will not be sorry if you come to the show. You will fucking love this band. And also, there's a bunch of other great bands going to be playing. My band Skullcaster is going to play. Hola o Muerte is going to be playing. We also have Sister Munch is going to be on that show. It's going to be a fantastic show. Again, we're going to go into all that at the end of the episode. Plus, there's going to be a special Crack Rock Steady 7 show that is happening, and we're going to give you more details for that again at the end of the episode. So make sure you stick around all the way to the bitter end of the show. Don't forget, You can always check out all the new stuff going on at Dispatches by going to dispatchesfromtheunderground.com. We have a subscription section that'll take you through to iTunes where you can leave a rating for us and leave a little review if you have the time to do that, and continue to refresh that, continue to come back to it. Put as many stars as you like or as little as you like, whatever, it's up to you. But the more ratings we have on there, the more honest reviews we have, the more we're able to find people who dig us and get them down with us. There's also a merch section. We got a ton of merch up there from All Torn Up and a bunch of other bands. If you are inclined, and the merch store does help us run the show, gives us a little bit of profit to help us keep going. But we also have a donation section up there too, if that is something you can do, to leave a little money. But again, the show's always free. This one and all the other ones we have, there's an archive section where you can download all the other ones in the past and check out more of what we've done. But either way, you continue to get this show for free, and we really appreciate all of you who listen in every single week. I super appreciate it. So enough of me talking by myself. Let's get to the conversation with Dave Hooligan from Inziguri. Get down. I want to start this episode off with a song from a band that Davey is not in, but I promise you we will adequately represent Inziguri throughout the rest of the episode. We're going to have a bunch of songs that we're going to play from Uptown Boogie Down, which is Davey's new album with Inziguri. But I want to start this episode off with a band that's playing our next Dispatchers from the Underground show here in New York City. The show is going to be April 25th. It's going to be at El Cortez in Brooklyn. This band, Broken Dead, is going to be on tour, I believe, throughout the Northeast, but I think they might be even going across country. I'm not sure of their whole route, but wherever you are, if you get a chance to see Broken Dead, you should not miss them. They're going to be playing April 25th. That's a Wednesday here in New York City at El Cortez. My band Skullcaster is going to be playing. Hola Muerte is going to be playing that show, and Sister Munch. The lineup is absolutely stacked, and Broken Dead is fantastic. You can get this song and a bunch of their new songs off their latest album on their Bandcamp page, but here is Broken Dead from Eugene, Oregon. Get down. What's up, bro?
What's going on, man? Oh, shit. It's been a while.
It's been a minute, dude. I'm sorry. I haven't had you on in a while. I'm a piece of shit.
I've been busy.
Let's start every episode off with Joey's a piece of shit. Get it out of the way. Dave's amazing. Yeah, how you been? Everything's good?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm prepping for a bunch of things.
Yeah, you're getting married fucking soon. Yes, you guys just had a fucking rad show. Inziguri just played a rad show.
Oh, yeah, Basement Dwellers. Cody, thank you very much.
Cody from Maluth, amazing
Maddie
band.
Smalls, my man, thank you very much.
Super. That show looked great. I'm fucking really bummed that I did not come to
it. It was a lot of fun. I saw two really cool bands, a band called Know Nothing.
Know Nothing played Punk Island on my stage.
Really?
Yeah, they opened.
They're great.
Yeah, they're super really fucking good.
And Philly. A band, Drug Bust.
Oh,
and
shit.
And they came, they're both from Philly. From PA.
Know Nothing is spelled N-O nothing. So in case you guys are looking and checking them out, you should because they got some great music online. So go check it out. N-O nothing. And fucking my boys from Boston.
Neighborhood Shit
played that show.
Neighborhood Shit. And they were
None Above
awesome.
All. Incredible fucking band played that show.
None Above All is probably my favorite band. It like
careful.
they definitely the Climate of Hostility EP that they put out this year was easily my favorite release of 2017, I guess.
Yeah,
but it's 18 now, but
yeah, I forget what year it is. I don't like to think about math too much. Yeah, that show looked amazing. Fucking super jealous I wasn't there at it. So fucking fantastic job. It was good.
It was a lot of fun. It was the first time I saw people crowd surf in the Basement Dwellers showroom.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. It was cool.
At Cody's place?
Yeah.
And they were fucking crowd surfing? The ceiling is like you'd be squished.
I know. Well, they replaced... I was a little bummed about this because they used to have like the pool lamp.
Yeah.
They replaced it now. The pool lamp was dangerous as fuck. But these new lights, they're just the bulbs and they move when you hit them. So they kind of just swing around and there's like a little bit more room. The first time we played there, kids were like dancing and I was kind of just hitting the pool lamp. I was like, let's see how close they could get before this turns south.
That's funny. You know, in New York, it's tough. People don't know this, but there are a very limited number of house shows in actual New York City proper. And Cody's spot and the Basement Dwellers and Cody's from Maluth, his is one of the few house shows that does regular shows
and has not been shut down by police.
Yeah,
and
they're fucking really good shows and they're really good bands. Mm-hmm. So it's a really fucking fan. People should check it out if they don't know.
Their basement shows at Cody's house are awesome, but they've been branching out because they've done some Philly stuff, some Connecticut stuff, some Gateway stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, proud.
I'm proud of those guys.
All right, well, enough about Cody and Aluth. We could talk about them all day, every day. But let's talk about Enziguri because y'all put out an album in 2017. We haven't talked about it on
Uptown
on the show.
Boogie Down.
Let's talk about it, dude.
It was probably the most fun I've ever had making a record.
Really?
Probably because
how
Jerry,
do you have fun making a record?
Jerry Farley, that's how. The Jerry Farley. He was a very fun guy to work with, and at the time, he was celebrating his, like, eighth year sober.
Oh,
and
nice.
I think I was on my first, or no, I was, like, rounding out my second year. So it's nice to be with somebody who gets it and nice to be with somebody who made it fun. And he told me, he's like, because if we sit here and you look at me and I say, yeah, go for it, point click, okay, record, okay, do it again. Like, you're going to hate me by the end of this. And you're going to look back and be like, yeah, the record was okay, but the experience was fucking awful.
Jeez, that is the opposite of how I record, Davey. I feel like it's in the recording studio is a battle, and I should come out of that studio hating the recording engineer for pushing me so far beyond my limits. But I love that. Yeah, I don't have any fun ever, so people might notice that on the show. You guys decided to do this record. Here's what I think a lot of people don't know. You guys decided to do this record. You finished all these songs when? Like a year before? Like how long before the record was done?
I think we put it out April 22nd of 2017.
So it's been almost exactly a year that it's been out, actually.
Yeah, it's actually been out for almost a year. We got to segue into the next stuff.
Oh, geez. I'm a piece of shit saying it's a new record. But it's a new record for us talking about it, for sure.
Yeah. No.
It's still, in New York, in punk, like, putting out your own album news, I feel like it's a new record, you know, because we can't get a lot of music turned out.
Yeah, no. It's also the first full-length that Enziguri did, because we did the EP, and this one was 12 songs, 13 songs?
Mm-hmm.
I forget. It's been so long. But no, it's an awesome experience in retrospect. At the time, we had a bass player leave. Mm. We went into the studio as a four-piece, which we started, you know, Enziguri as a five-piece. We lost a guitarist. We flew, you know, just the four of us. Bass player recorded all his stuff and then quit the band. Back to the Abyss.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he's a kid I didn't know prior. He's a kid I don't know now.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah, but I'm super happy because now we have Six-Pack John.
He's a maniac.
He's a maniac, and he's awesome. He's like the nicest, coolest fucking guy you could inherit in terms of like just what he brings with him, because every time we go now, we'll go and like SD that used to do security at the Grand Victory is like, I've seen you guys first couple times, trash bar, Grand Vic. He's like, you got Six-Pack now. That's an upgrade. You guys are doing big things. I was like, oh.
He's an amazing guitar player. I feel like he's like underground New York, like definitive guitar player, you know, in the scene. Like
Queens, born and raised.
Defines, so when he touches a guitar, you're just like, that's hardcore. That's New York City hardcore.
He was sending me riffs today, and I was like, wow, dude, fuck. I'm so glad you want to be with us.
Yeah. Jealous and excited for y'all.
And we got Matt Monahan, who is just like a phenom on bass.
Also a fucking maniac live.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's probably... he makes it fun again. He makes the live experience not... like, Julio always holds it down. Royce always holds it down. Sixpack always holds it down. But Matt makes me nervous because he moves so much. So I'm just like, oh, okay. I got to actually watch where I'm going now. Because, like, Julio is like a brick shithouse. If I bounce into him, he's not going to care. I've been bouncing into him since we were, like, 13 years old, you know? But... with Matt, I'm like, oh, Matt does like high kicks, and Matt's a fucking, like, you know,
he's a maniac.
Yeah.
But you got to watch the bass in the head, though. That's fucking always nasty for a front man to get hit with that bass in the head.
Freddie Madball just got, just got clipped by Hoya, and I think he had to get stitches over his eye.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the fucking hardcore. That's the hardcore credo right there. Fucking get clipped by the bass. So you guys are running all cylinders now.
Yeah. For the first time, probably since like, early 2016, we're a five piece again. We're writing new stuff. It's different, but it sounds so good now with all five of us. Like, much respect to Kevin and, you know, whatever respect to Will for helping us start it. But I think Matt and John are the guys that we were always meant to ride with. So it's very cool. It's very fun. I'm looking very forward to recording with them, and all the new stuff that we've been writing has been very awesome.
Nice.
Very much more in the vein of, like, I think the growth is there and it's important.
Well, let's talk about that because first of all, I love the album. I think that there's,
thank you.
I'm not sure my favorite. I think No Time is my favorite song on the album. I think it's a really good way to end the album too, by the way. I don't know if that was like always the intention.
I think when we wrote it, we didn't intend it, but then when we heard it, we're like, yeah, so that's going to be the end of the record, correct? Correct.
Yeah. that's like a really strong note to end on, but I want to talk about maybe my least favorite
Let me hear.
But Empire State, so explain what the song is to folks. This is not my least favorite song because I still really like the album, but I want to talk about some contentious
stuff. No. I'm glad
stuff.
You brought Let's it talk up, about and you're a good person to bring it up.
Well, you can wait till the end of the conversation if you want to rescind that offer of being a good person.
No.
Explain the song to folks.
You know, it's interesting to me. The song Empire State, Die Hipster Scum is... I watched a lot of things change, and like, I know how old that makes me sound, but at like 30, you know, I've been going to shows like in Brooklyn and Manhattan since I was... like 12, 13 years old, and I feel like I've never seen the gentrification and like yuppie implant shit hit such like a high. And I thought, I was like, well, it'll, you know, it always kind of like goes up and then it spikes, or, you know, it kind of like peters out, but like it just keeps going. Like,
yeah,
Long Island City right now, like I've seen, like, you know, I don't know what the zoning laws are for Brooklyn, but I know I've never seen buildings this high. Mm. So something's changing. Like, things are definitely, it's not the same city that I remember. And I say that as if, you know, like, oh, I've been around, man. I've seen it all. But no, it was noticeable enough for me to like feel something about it. And then, you know, like, I see all these people that, you know, I would work with or whatever, be like, yeah, man, I got to leave Brooklyn. I was born and raised here. They didn't give a fuck about it when it was trash. And now that it's like becoming the gold mine for like young, rich, like white Midwesterners to come and like be like, this is New York City. I'm so happy to be here. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy to me. Like, I read an article, a lady complained about her neighbors, Spanish neighbors playing music.
Oh, geez.
Like, come on, yeah, man. This is
in Manhattan?
No, it was in Brooklyn.
Oh, geez.
And that's the thing that kills me the most. It's like, look, music is loud no matter who you are, no matter what you're playing. But like, you got to understand, you move into that neighborhood, that's not your neighborhood to change.
Yeah.
You need to adjust and you need to become part of the culture, part of, like, you know, the streets talk and you need to like be with it or get out of the way. Cause I feel like.
No, I fully get it. And I've only been here, you know, I'm a transplant. So we're going to talk about my bullshit coming from the Midwest in a second. Cause I think the first line of the song or like one of the first lines.
Cash rules everything around me.
Oh yeah. But then
Wu-Tang status.
The third couple of lines in is the transplants coming from the Midwest. Fucking. I was like, okay, all right, let's put it up front. I get it. but I've only been here for maybe 15 or so years. And even in the time I've been here.
You've seen it change.
It has changed unbelievably. I mean,
how do you feel about the change, being that you've been here long enough to watch it happen?
Well, I think that it should be said, and I think it's important that New York hardcore especially is continually bringing that up, because this is a place that bred the hardcore sound.
Yeah.
And it's bringing that point across that New York City has lost a lot of its character. The character that built New York City hardcore is not as round as much anymore. It's not the same place it was 20, 25, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And that,
I
think,
harder to survive.
Can't be ignored. And a lot of it is fucking whitewashed by these rich fucking cracker ass fucking pieces of shit.
Yep.
Who just party. Manhattan is just a one giant endless party at this point. It's like
Brooklyn too. Brooklyn. Yeah. You try to get on the L train Saturday night, like anytime after like 8 o'clock, yep. And you see some crazy shit. People gearing up to go to some crazy parties.
Yeah, but we, you know, like, I'm sure like 30 years ago, everyone would be like, yo, you see some crazy shit on the train, but it was different crazy shit. It was way more fun crazy shit.
Yeah.
It was way more volatile crazy shit. Crazy shit that had some heart and passion to it. Now it's crazy shit like, oh shit, I saw 7 hipsters throwing up in Ziploc baggies on the train today.
They're all wearing the same flannel and beanie combo.
And just blowing loads of cocaine in the fucking train. I mean, you know.
Possibly Molly. I don't know. I can't tell the difference unless I smell it.
But what do you think is... There's a lot of stuff that talks about transplants. I am a transplant, so I'll take the heat too, because I am from the Midwest and I'm a piece of shit, so I'm ruining your city. But what do you think New York City is to you? Let's get into the contention. This is my issue with the song.
New York City to me is a community, and it's, you know, we can't trust the cops, obviously. I don't trust the government. I don't suggest anybody else does, but I suggest that you maybe, like, you know, have a little faith in your neighbors. Like, even if you don't, there are plenty of neighbors that I say, like, how's it going? On my way, you know, into my building in the Bronx. And I think if they saw me bleeding in the street, they'd help me.
Mm.
I think if some, like, yuppie transplant, like, rich kid saw me, they'd probably run. Or, like, they, you know, I look at it as, like...
Call the cops. Like, this guy's bleeding on my street. He's ruining my street.
Guy. Get this fucking guy out of here. I look at it as like,
that's an interesting point.
My problem with transplants stems from, if you've come here to do nothing but take and to drain the community, but sterilize it to your special needs or your, you know, whatever, that's my problem with it. If you came here to contribute, someone like you, Emily from Sister Munch actually came up to me and was like, I love the new record. I love that album. I'm so sorry. I'm from. I was like, whoa. Mm. You fucking, like, you plant trees and you take care of the parks. Like, you came here with a purpose and you made your living. Like, that's what New York City is about. Coming here to just, you know, do what you want to do and be how you want to be with respect for, you know, the organic, like, matter around you. That,
my mom always taught me that when you go to someone's house, you make it, or whatever the situation is, you make it better than when you were there before you were there.
That's a beautiful saying.
You bring something, you make it better, and when you leave it better off than it was before you were there.
I think that's beautiful. I think that's a very good way to be.
And I think that helps foster the sense of community, and I think people, like, indebted, you know, I think part of the issue with transplants, this is just my idea, is that people come here not thinking they're going to stay, that they're here for a while and they're going to leave.
Well, that's the other thing. Like, if you come, you know, like, scuff your feet, you know, do whatever the fuck it is that you came here to do, party, drink, fuck, fight, whatever. Yeah. Like, and then you bounce because at the end, there's an end goal. And you're like, well, I had my fun. It was New York. But, yeah. You know, at the end of the day, I got
I really want to move to L.A.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so I get all that. But to me, New York City is a city of immigrants. It's a city of transition. Oh, you know, it's totally. A city. It's like it is a city of change. Like this city is in like it. Eternal change.
Yeah.
Just constantly changing. That's partly what I love is the conflict that exists everywhere around you. I mean, if you look from the history, the rebellions and the riots, which were mostly backwards in New York, but all the way up to today, it's like this constant reinventing of itself over and over and over and over again. And that's why I love New York City. I love the conflict. I love the speed. I love the pace. It's faster than any city in the world. It moves at a pace like nobody else. And there's good parts of that. And there's bad parts of that, but that's why attracts me to the city is the pace, is the aggression that pulses in the city.
That's a very good point. You're making me fall back in love with it.
And that's there are parts of that I hate, and there's parts that I love to it. But you know that like ruthless, like the city eats you alive and spits you out.
Yeah.
And these transplants are getting a taste of it. I ran my bike into a fucking transplant one day, and it was her first day. She was running through traffic, and she didn't look. And then I hit her and just dragged her down the street, and her face was like half gone.
Raspberry,
like, beautiful woman, no longer. Like she was fried. She's like, my leg was fucked up, so I couldn't get up and like come at her.
Right.
But she's like, oh my god, I'm so sorry. I'm like, you fucking dumbass. She's like, it's my first day of work. I was just running to my Uber. I was so excited about my job. I'm like, your face is wrecked.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you go home. Go back to Wisconsin. Like,
also running to my Uber. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Like, you know, it just the city's gonna eat you up because of the pace. And so that's
the pace, but also I feel like most people that come here, they're like, well, I'm safe. Like, no. You always have, like, you have to be aware. No matter where you go, be aware of your surroundings. Be aware that you're in, like, you know, a place that's moving with you or without you. Mm-hmm. And you can't just expect it to, like, slow down for you, you know, till you figure it out.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck you.
It's like the first bell in high school. Yeah. Like, look, you got, like, 3 minutes. You got to figure this out real quick.
Yeah. New York City concentrates. I love it and I hate it. And it concentrates to me like the best and worst of capitalism. Like this, you know, the rat race is good and bad. The rent is brutal, obviously.
Oh yeah, especially
and
now.
That's like a real thing to blame the transplants for, coming in with money and being able to afford rent that no one in New York can afford, working at a regular job and not working in fucking TV or whatever they're in. You know, so that's I get that, but you know, I just think that I like the fact that this album starts there. Because first of all, I commend you for getting Emily and me to think about lyrics.
Oh, thank you. Know, you.
Because it, first of all, we listened to the whole album. I love Enziguri, and I think it simultaneously, it like stands its ground in that first song. The thank first you. Song starts off, and it's like, hey, this is where we're going to start, motherfuckers. This is New York hardcore. And I think Enziguri is a band bringing New York hardcore like nobody else is making it now. Like new music.
I think it's, you know,
and I think that first song puts it there.
I really appreciate that. I think we bring the fun and consciousness that a lot of bands are either afraid to, or, you know, I look at it like a lot of hardcore bands is very much like, my struggle, my inner turmoil, you know, my anger, my pain, my, you know, whatever. But like, to me, I kind of, you know, when we play live, I look at everybody's face and they're either smiling or they're pissed.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And yeah, that's, I feel you've done like your job. That's, yeah, I feel like that's the way it should
you
be.
You wage the battle. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, I want to say this real quick, actually, not to backtrack a little, but we were talking about the Basement Dweller shows. This might have been our first show with an all woman, like serious throwing down pit.
Mm.
Now, I always love seeing, like, strong women, like, just throwing down in the pit, but for all the guys to be like, whoa, okay, like, this is something I'm going to back out of right now, because there was at least, you know, I want to say close to 10 just, like, heavy-hitting, like, ladies going at it, and, like, our homegirl Carrie, I think she, like, chipped her tooth, but she comes to, like, all the shows, so I was just like, yeah, Carrie, please, you got to own this, like... The only Bronx lady with us. But
fuck, you left half a tooth in fucking Brooklyn, though. Yeah, get that shit back.
Happy St. Patrick's
Day. I just think we're gonna take a break. We're gonna listen to Empire State right now. But I just think that that's the right way to start the album, and it does project what to me Enziguri is, which is this relevant, up to date, upfront New York City hardcore. And while I have some issues with some of the content, I also commend you the fact that you're getting people listening to think about that stuff, which is not easy to do. And you're coming at relevant conversations that we can have a fucking 20-minute conversation about. And hopefully other people are listening to it and feeling equally either uncomfortable or like, hell yeah, like one or the other.
Yeah.
Because that's what hardcore is supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be. So well done.
It's supposed to scare you a little.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
It's supposed to make
it's
you
fucking New York, for God's sakes, people. All right. Let's listen to Empire State right now. And then we're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of the rest of the album. So here it is. Get down.
Gas rules everything around me. Mass fools say it's astounding. Families get run out the down. Even working class is thinking about it. Transplants coming in from the Midwest, living north of there. Barrage takes treatment in NYC with disrespect. It's to spread disease while we slept rotten Ingleties. And Phoenix told me much to me. Disconnect, please get this change in. Incorrect, I'm down on my knees. Take effect. I can't believe this happened. I can't believe this happened. I can't believe what's going on in my neighborhood. I can't believe this happened. I can't believe this happened. I can't believe what's going on in my neighborhood. The strong, the brave have been depraved. New York has seen some better days. We all survived through the decay. Outrageous prize to ride the trains. When all is said and all is done, our city is still number one.
I'm like blown away. Some of that.
Well, I mean, I started that last segment by saying the song I least like on the album, which was pretty shitty and fucked up, because it got that conversation went a little long. But I did want to talk about that album, and I do appreciate the fact that there are punk bands that are writing about important things, like not just French fries and
whiskey
fucking,
and pizza, yeah, and all the fun punk things.
I freaking went to this show the other night. And there was a band that sang a song called My Stomach Hates My Guts. And I was just like, I hate this fucking band so much.
And my heart tells me I hate your band.
Yeah, that should be the sequel to that song. But so, you know, while I might have like small issues with something someone writes, I would rather have listened to a song that had some issues, that had some things in it that I didn't like, than a song that I was just like, I don't give a fuck about that a million times over.
And if you're not saying anything, like, don't get me wrong, I like songs about like hanging out with your friends, or like, you know, breakup songs, whatever. But like, when it's been done and it's been done over and over and probably better than you're going to get it, like, find a new topic. We all got friends. We all got we all got asshole friends that we don't like. We
you
all
don't
got.
Even
you know.
Look at me like that when you say asshole. No, friend, no. Fucking look at me like we all got asshole friends.
Just turned my head completely.
Yeah,
we got you know.
Yeah, I think that it's really fucking hard to write a song. People come up to me, they're like, "Oh, I agree with stuff you're saying." I'm like, "Bullshit! You're not either. You're either not listening to what I'm saying or reading what I'm saying. If you can't hear what I'm saying, there's no fucking way anybody really agrees with 90% of what I'm saying." So, you know, like let's talk about the things you think I'm sick about because it's fucked up. But I do actually agree with some of the songs, and I'm super proud that you have Self-Awareness is Key on the album.
Thank you.
Because to me, self-awareness is something that we're very oblivious about, that's something so crucial to our lives, and it's something that no one really talks about in music, and it's just like straight up front, self-awareness is key.
Yeah. I think it's important. I think you gotta, like, you know who you are and what you want and what you want to put out into the world to then go forth and do that. I'm super grateful that I get to be friends with, like, you know, someone like you, someone like Kate Hoos, someone like Al, because all these things I never would have thought about. Like, I'll never forget the realization, you know, Kate was my friend for a while and she was like, "Hey, how come? So there's not a lot of women bands on the Alfie shows." You're fucking right. Mm. You are absolutely right. And, you know, I hope, Kate, if you're listening, I hope I've done my
there's
part
no pleasing
to change
her ever,
this.
So there's
no
point.
But you know what?
Trying.
I can be aware and I could be, you know,
sorry, Kate.
Try to do right by, you know, once I'm the type of person, I'm not oblivious to the fact that I get tunnel vision for my own shit and for my own wants and needs. And, you know, I think that's a pretty normal thing for most people. But if you were to address it, you know, obviously I think it's not easy to change my mind, but when I see the folly in my ways, or if I see that there's something I've done and I'm like, you know what, I could have done better, I should have done better, I will do better the next time. And that's
a lot
of like what self-awareness is key to me is about, is that if you don't take a chance, like if you play it safe, how are you ever going to know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you don't put it out there for someone to be like, "Hey, you know, that hurt me," or like, how are you going to apologize?
Mm.
How can you, you know, you got to think.
I mean, you got to being conscious about what your own thoughts are and your own ambitions and like all the things you're saying. Like, it should be difficult to change your mind.
Do you know how many people?
Because that's your opinions, you know, like those are your feelings and
that's
your thoughts.
Your stance.
And it shouldn't be easy to just flip flop those ideas. But you should know what they are. And then if you come up in conflict with different ones and you're like, you know what, those are actually better ones.
Yeah, you make a lot of sense.
I should change my mind.
Right.
That, you know, and that's why self-awareness is key. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No.
You said, do you know?
Do you know how many times people will like approach me? Fuck.
I fucked it up, cutting you off.
No.
Yeah, I did. I fucked up, and then I'm a piece of shit. And I know self-awareness is key, Davey. That's important for me to remember that I'm a piece of shit. It helps me realize where I'm at, actually. I read all of the lyrics that I could get a hold of, and I listened pretty closely to the album. But I don't really know what progression's about because the song is a little bit fast for me to fully understand.
It's like a full punk song.
It's a full punk song. And I love the song. So thanks. I want to know, can you break down what that song's about?
Yes. Julio and Royce, who, you know, Royce plays drums, Julio plays guitar in Inzaghi. We all met when we were, you know, barely teenagers. And it was because, here's an interesting little travel back in time, before cell phones, we all used to just go meet up at the parking lot because all the skaters, the freaks, the punks, the metalheads, like, they all used to go meet up there. And the first line of that song is like jumping through turnstiles, acting young and wild, because I just thought about one time when we were coming home from a CBGB show. We literally, you know, like 12 of us hopped the turnstile. And my friend Steve got caught, and it was like, "Sorry, dude, yo, I'll see you back at the Bronx." You know, somebody had to get it if it was, and but just stupid shit like that, like stealing 40s from like the bodega and stuff. And I always used to go from my house up the block to meet up with my boy Jeff And then from there, we'd walk over to Chase or we'd skate, you know, and it kind of snowballed into like bigger eclectic group of kids. But for some reason, like, you know, when Julio brought that riff and we were playing it, I was like, man, this is taking me to like, you know, this is, I feel like I'm 14 years old again. And we'd go hang out at the cops. We'd go hang out at the parking lot and, you know,
avoid the cops,
yeah. Except it was the parking lot. It was right on East Tremont. So like the parking lot was on the left side, and then you look to your right is the 7-Eleven, but unfortunately, right past that is the 4/5 precinct.
Oh, shit.
So when we got to the age where people, you know, started actually drinking out in the open, smoking weed, doing all that shit, then the cops did care. They didn't care when we were just a bunch of kids skating in the parking lot. They was like, all right, whatever. They all wear black t-shirts. They might be a cult. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, it just took me back to that time, and it just made me feel like a fun punk song, or like, you know, I'm not British, so for me to do an Oi song seems kind of like
fucking dumb,
you know. So
yeah, yeah.
I was like, yeah, this is the way we're gonna do it. I'm gonna write about when I was a kid, because I mean,
so what is the song about, really? Then it's just about that time.
Yeah, it's just about like that weird.
What is that fast fucking part? That like super fast like bullet part.
Oh, fade to black, and it's not. Yeah, it just says like fade to black, fade to black, fade to black. Can't take it back, and it's not going to change. Because no matter how, like, you know, much I love thinking back to those times, no matter how cringeworthy some of those times were, it is what it is. Like, it's written in stone now, you know? Julio and Royce are stuck with me at this point. We've been hanging out doing this shit for over a decade, so... It just
so it's good times. I mean, good times, bad times. It's just fucking,
the high. Yeah. You can't enjoy the comedy if you don't feel or experience the tragedy. And I feel like that's the duality of any sort of perspective, you know.
Well, we talked about my favorite songs of the album and some of the thoughts I had about some more contentious issues. What is your either your favorite song in the album or a song that you really like because of the content it brings out or whatever? Is there something you have a preference for on the album?
My favorite song on the album right now is probably Disambiguation.
Oh, really?
Yep. It's the most fun to play live. It has a part in it that's almost like pogo-ish.
Yeah, it's a pretty wild song.
It's like a nice, you know, like bass, like do-do-do-do-do-do-do. It's cool, but it's also about something very near and dear to me, which is having panic attacks at shows.
Oh, shit.
Because, you know, like, I stopped drinking, and I don't think people realize this, but, yeah, like, when you quit drinking, everybody's got their own reason. But most of the time, what they don't tell you is that all these things that you drank to forget or drank to suppress or, you know, drank to just kind of put out of your mind, they come back, and they come back very heavy, and it's very hard to deal with. And I think I didn't realize how, like, I consider myself like a pretty happy guy, pretty fun loving guy at like shows, to like easy to approach. When I first quit drinking, I like would go to shows and put my hood up, cover my face. Like, I didn't want anybody to see me. I didn't want to seem weak. I didn't want to seem like I was faking it, you know. Like, it was. I didn't realize how much booze was like a social lubricant for me until I actually stopped. And Disambiguation is kind of compiled from a bunch of situations, but mainly I started to have like panic attacks at shows. I'd get so overwhelmed. I always wear earplugs, but like the vibrations, everything hit me different. And I know it sounds dumb.
That doesn't sound dumb to me. I think it resonates with me 100%.
Yeah, like everything starts to like, you know, like, I don't know, especially when you're in a closed space, something like, you know, the Basement Dweller show. I don't know that I could have done that show in the first year of sobriety, because truthfully, I had a panic attack. I felt so bad. The last Alfie show that I booked ever, we had like Downtrotter from Philly. We had so many good bands, and a situation happened that we were on stage. I didn't know how to handle it. Matt ended up throwing his bass down. It was like a whole big thing. And I went and sat in the stall and had like a panic attack, had to pick myself back up, come out, be like, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry this happened. It's very awful. I'm sorry for bringing you all the way down here. And like, you know, this is the shit that you deal with, but
that's heavy. We should just, that's really, That's some heavy stuff. Maybe we should talk about that a little more in the next segment.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because totally. That's a fucking really powerful thought. So let's listen to Disambiguation, right?
Yeah.
Off the new album, or off of
Uptown Boogie Down.
Uptown Boogie Down by Enziguri. Get down.
Anxiety has gotten me entirely down on my knees. Reliably, I quietly come to my seas piously. But gravity was eating me, the gravity. And I can breathe, challenging my sanity, the agony of the free. Now it's got me by the throat, now it's got me by the throat. Squeeze it till I fucking choke. Now it's got me by the throat. Squeeze it till I fucking choke. Now it's got me by the throat. Squeeze it till I fucking choke. I can't take this situation. My mouth's closed shut, frozen bacon. I'm a blatant mental patient. Crew the Lord's on medication. This whole time now, it's been wasted. My fist glacier, holding waiting. Facing destination, cannot find my motivation. Motivate me now. I can't take this pressure building in me now. No preemptive measures, this has got me down. Don't take pain and pleasure, I've got to step out now. Take deep breaths and count to ten. Find your center from within. Don't lose hope and don't tailspin. Go for broke cause you can win. Pressure's off of my throat skin. Mouth has open, breathing in. Feels like I can start again. Moving forward with a grin. Pick myself up and stay straight. Tell myself the first mistake I would never advocate. Giving up too much in flight. Keep up living, concentrate. Listen to your own heart rate. Listen to the sound it makes. Never been louder today. You can now walk.
We were talking about Disambiguation. We were talking about the new album, and then you were talking about Panic Attacks a little bit. And we were gonna talk about some other stuff, but I think we should just keep talking about this because I don't have panic attacks, but I am sober, and you know, so it's a little bit hard for me to understand that world. And I appreciate like the perspective challenge of like thinking about other people becoming sober and the challenges and issues of things they confront as they do that. Because I've been sober for, I don't know, 25 years. I haven't wow. I haven't drank, you know, really as an adult ever. So to me, it's just something I do. But there is, you know, I'm at shows sometimes and I want to put my hoodie up and I don't want to talk to people.
Yeah.
People get drunk and people get annoying and they repeat themselves like you were talking about off the fucking thing.
I love that. I love hearing how good you're doing three times in the night and like...
But there is a social lubricant that is alcohol.
Totally.
And it makes situations a little, from what I can understand, it makes situations a little easier to deal with because things can be uncomfortable and awkward when you're hanging around people you may not know that well, or maybe you want to know better, or maybe you want to know worse, or whatever. I mean,
I definitely had an easier time making friends when I was drinking.
And I don't have any friends really, so that makes a lot of sense actually. Yeah, that perfectly makes sense.
It's weird. It like I guess I was a pretty like high anxiety person, and I kind of was just able to repress that with like having a couple beers. But so learning to be social again and to deal with it. A buddy of mine just got out of rehab, went to the same rehab that I went to, which was an interesting experience to like talk about, but. He was like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready for that. Meaning going to a show or whatever. Oh. I was like, hey, man, you got to realize the world's not going to change. Like, you're the one that has to change. You made
that's a good point.
This decision, you made these mistakes that you got to own and move forward, but it's never going to be to your liking. Like, it's never going to be in your comfort, your comfortability zone.
Yeah, sure. No, yeah. For sure. And I think that that comfort, that like issue of being comfortable with yourself and with your surroundings, that's really hard to deal with sober. I mean, yeah. I feel that way, and I don't ever have a desire or thought of using a drug, but I know that situations are uncomfortable, and I know it's awkward, and I know other people feel it. And I know, like, I want to confront that, like, head on. I like, you know, like, okay, this is awkward, uncomfortable. You're being awkward, uncomfortable. Let's just talk about that. Why is that weird? Like, let's talk about something meaningful and important. But people don't want that confrontation. They want that.
They want it to be smooth and complete. Yeah. They exactly.
Don't, and
easy.
Like, to me, I don't have that desire. I want, if I'm going to talk, I want a fucking contention. I want to like, I want to know why. And I feel like that brings people together. And I want to know why, like, I disagree with them. And then when I know that, like, I feel like I'm closer, you know, like, I don't understand.
You can understand their perspective a little bit more.
Exactly. And other people want to just chill. You know, I was watching this Andy Kaufman documentary or this Jim Carrey documentary about.
Oh, Jim and Andy.
Jim and Andy, right? Yeah. And there's a scene in there where Jim Carrey's talking about how he became, how he finally understood how to make entertainment. And he's like, there was a moment where I had this realization that people, they just want to have their pain, like, basically, this is a paraphrasing, their pain taken away. Like, they just want to forget.
Yeah.
And I don't want to forget. I want to, like, put it right in their face. And I want it right in my face. And I feel, like, alive then.
Right.
And I feel like those are the I feel like those are the moments that cause panic attacks. Like, when that stuff is in people's faces and they don't know what to do.
Right.
You know? And, like, so they drink or so they, like... So do you think that is that the times when you would have them, like, you're confronted with something and you didn't know how to deal with it because you used to just sort of drink through
it? I think I got so used to the bar atmosphere of, like, you know, you walk in, like, hey, what's going on, how you doing, you have a couple beers and you feel like you were always there and always acclimated to the environment. So, you know, I used to love playing at, like, the Grand Victory or something, and I'd go, like, hey, Liz, what's up? Yeah, let's start this off with, like, a shot of Jameson and a beer. Let's get it going. And then, you know, I'd be Mr., like, rally, like, let's fucking do this. Let's fucking go. Trying to fake that enthusiasm when you're sober is an eye-opening experience, because you start thinking, or me personally, I was just like, fuck is wrong with me? Like, why can't I turn it on? Like, why can't I have fun with this anymore? And it's because I spend too much time worrying. Mm. When, you know, when you're drinking, and it's not that you turn that part of your brain off or anything, but it, you feel a little bit more at ease, a little bit more relaxed, even if it was, you know, just like the one beer or just holding the, like, you know, I've talked to people that are like, I hold it. I drink the same drink all night, but it's just having it and not feeling like an outsider or like a weirdo. I'm like, oh, but I shouldn't have to feel like a weirdo, but I can understand what's causing this now. Or, you know, sometimes, a lot of times with me, I had a couple of friends that would be like, well, I'm not going to stop. I'm like, and I'm not asking you to. No, I'm asking you to have fun and do what you always did. They're like, that's fine. And then they'll come back to me later and be like, I know I got a problem, dude, and I know it's eventually going to get it. I'm like, what the fuck? Why are you fucking projecting on me? I'm trying to fucking deal with my shit. I don't want to, you know, don't get me wrong. I have love for all my friends. And if you ever need to talk, I'm here. But
no, but it is hard when people start projecting other things. And also, I mean, I did it a little bit earlier. Like, I assumed that panic attacks, that you were having issues for some of the same reasons that I think things are difficult. And it's hard for someone to really understand. Everyone has, like you said before in the last segment, everyone has different reasons to get sober. Everyone has different reasons to stay sober. Everyone has different issues when they become sober. So, like, there's all these. And look, people out there listening, you know,
cheers to you. Have a beer.
Yeah, I'm not going to say, I can't bring myself to say that. You should probably fucking not drink. But, you know, Davey's here to fucking make you feel better about drinking. That's good.
I'm the Jim Carrey in this situation. I'll take away your pain. I'll entertain you. I'm your clown.
it's interesting to hear you say what you think is the hardest times for you, that, like, rallying, like, you feel like, but do you feel like you've fought back and got it? Like, you feel like you found it again?
Oh, I'm in there.
Yeah.
I'm in there. There's I'm stronger now because I had to be so weak, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure.
I'm definitely, it's humbling because you realize, like, oh, shit, without the booze, like, I'm not Mr. Life of the Party. I'm not Mr. This. So, like, who am I? Why am I here? What is my purpose? So, you know,
those questions make everyone stronger.
Yeah.
When you answer those questions.
And you got to be self-aware to ask them.
You know, I think that's, we were talking a little bit off the episode and a little bit scattered throughout the episode about faking it. People who out there are just faking it and I get why they do it. They're uncomfortable. They lost who they are or whatever. But I think that those asking themselves those questions prevent anyone from ever faking it because you are honest to yourself and you're out there doing it for the reasons you believe in, or you're out there doing whatever it is for the reasons you believe in, whether you're sober or whether you're not sober. And you just find out, you know, why you dig down deep and confront those uncomfortable situations and move past them. You know, so everyone feels them.
I'm 30 years old. And I think in the past year, I've just had like, enough like introspective to realize that there was stuff from when I was like 19 that I never dealt with, that I just put off and put off, and the years went by. And then when I, you know, when you stop drinking and all that stuff comes to the surface, you're forced to deal with it. Or, you know, not even drinking, but like when you stop putting it off and all that stuff comes to the surface, you're forced to deal with it. And then you can, you know, do or die. You can let it consume you and let it cripple you and let it, you know, take the rest of the joy and the fun of the days going forward, or you can buckle down and, you know, just
deal with the shit.
Deal with the shit. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's what I love about punk. That's what I love about life. That's what I love about podcasting. That's what I love about politics. Just getting right in front of everything and just dealing with it.
Yeah.
Is that what helped you with the panic attacks?
Yeah.
The anxiety? Like what helped you ultimately get over that?
What helped me?
Did you work through? I mean, you're still fighting through it.
I still I fuck myself over sometimes because I'll drink like an energy drink before we play and
sounds
like
good.
Yeah, which is like the highs are really high, but then my lows, since I don't get hungover, I don't do that stuff anymore. Coming down off the caffeine, I'm like, wow, I'm fucking depressed, or like, you know, my body's not used to this. Or sometimes, you know, like I overdo it with like smoking a little too much weed at shows. And then for someone that has anxiety, I just piled it on. Like, oh, you think that person in the corner is talking shit about you? He probably is. This is your mind on like marijuana.
Do you feel like talking to that? So in those situations, I'll go up to the person who I think is talking shit. I try to make myself go up to that person and be like, yo, dude, do we have an issue? Or like, we good? And that usually actually makes it much worse. Because then like,
if it wasn't a problem, it is now.
Because then they think like, wait, we had an issue? Like, what do you mean? Like, I thought,
fuck are you? Fuck are you?
Yeah, yeah.
Who fuck are you?
So that's usually when I get my ass kicked, which happens a lot. But do you feel like there's something you can do in the same vein of the other things you do to get over to deal with them, the anxiety and the panic attacks, to help you with those?
Other than
smoking weed?
Other than smoking weed. It all stems from, like, when I get on stage, if I felt like that person, I would stare directly at them. Because now, remember, I'm focused, I'm clear, I'm sober, and, like, you're now my target. And if it looks like I'm looking at you, it's because I was feeling a weird way. Or, you know, I think being, you know, having the mic kind of frees me a little when I'm feeling like anxious or whatever. Like Caitlin tells me all the time, she's like, yeah, you're very saucy. You're very spicy when, when you're feeling uncomfortable, because then you kind of get at people. I'm like, yeah, but you know what? If I can provoke something in them, or if I can provoke them in any way and they want to, you know, get back at me, like that's the type of shit I grew up loving, like in punk and hardcore, like the banter. You know, just who's got the quicker wit? You got a sharp tongue? Could you beat the guy with the mic? Because in my experience, it has been no. I challenge you all.
Yeah, it's great. That's good. That's healthy. I think that's pretty good. It's like a weapon.
Gotta
keep you
on your toes, man.
You can use that mic as a weapon to fucking point out the people who you think you got shit with, and then done. Yeah. Deal with it. Yeah.
And also, like, enjoy if you really feel so sour that you're standing here watching my band play. Like, that makes me feel great. You felt so strongly that you decided to sit there with a pout and the crossed arms, like staring at me from across the room.
Yeah. Well, I guess the thing is, confront it, you know?
Just you got to face it head on.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I think more people should be uncomfortable. Like you were saying, you know, revel in that because you want to know where they're coming from. I think more people should step out of their comfort zone and be, you know, feel scared and figure out who you are. Figure out why you feel scared.
It's the fucking worst part about people our age or the younger generation. I mean, just everyone around me, they're just like, everyone's just so scared. They're scared of success. They're scared of failure.
Yeah.
They're scared of fucking doing things they've never done. It's like, what's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to get shot and end up in jail? It's probably going to happen anyway.
Yeah, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
This is New York City. Someone's bound to get hurt.
Exactly. Bringing it back to the beginning. All right, well, let's wrap it up there, bro. I think that's just pretty heavy. I think we took some people on a pretty heavy trip. I feel
yeah.
like people, if you're gonna come to New York City Hardcore Show and you're not gonna grow and fucking become something new through the process, then you probably didn't experience the fucking whole thing. You probably didn't fucking get all your money's worth.
Yeah, you probably didn't try.
Yeah. So this fucking Inziguri bringing it. Go to their fucking band camp right now.
Yes.
Get Uptown Boogie Down. Did I say it right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Uptown Boogie Down.
What's the band camp?
I think it's enziguri.nyc.bandcamp.com or .net. I forget. I don't know.
It's bandcamp.
Send him a message.
So go give him a like on the Facebook. Fucking get in touch with them.
Please.
And they will be playing New York City all the time.
We never leave.
No, you know, we got to do some more shows together too out of town.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All torn
let's
up
go see Instagram. Neighborhood Shit. Let's go visit the boys in Boston.
Yeah, 100%. Let's do it.
Let's do that.
Neighborhood Shit, if you're listening, which you're probably not. But if you're listening,
we fucking love you guys.
Yeah, we love you. We love your band. We're going to come up to Boston and hang out with y'all. All right, Inziguri on the band camp.
Get
Uptown
down.
Boogie Down. Get down. Here's a band from here in New York City that is going to be represented on that March 31st show. That Dave's going to be playing at Cobra Club with a bunch of incredible musicians. They're all going to be doing cover sets. But I know Al from this band that I'm about to play, Trashy, is going to be doing, going to be part of two cover sets that night. He's playing some of the tunes with Against Me and some tunes with Christian Death. And his band, Trashy, is fantastic. Al and I just started another band called Cop Out together with the incredible Kate Hoos and John from the Argonauts. Kate Hoos from Lady Business. Incredible musicians who happen to be playing in Cop Out with them. But I still do love this band, Trashy. And I'm not sure if I can announce this yet or not, but I'm going to do it anyway. Trashy is going to be playing a huge show here in New York City in April. So if you are not familiar with Trashy and you dig them, make sure you go to Trashy on social media and follow them on Instagram or on Bandcamp or on Facebook or wherever you go to follow bands. Make sure you stay up with Trashy because they are playing a huge show here in New York City that you are not going to want to miss. And I guarantee you're going to dig it. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say what the show is or not yet, so I'm going to keep it to myself. But make sure you go and check out Trashy and go see them very soon, perhaps mid-April-esque, perhaps the 13th-ish, perhaps at St. Vitus, perhaps. Anyway, you're not going to want to miss it. Here is Trashy from right here in New York City. Get down.
Yeah.
All right, that's the end of the episode. Thank you all for digging it. I hope you all appreciated having Davey here. Davey, thanks for coming on the show and
doing
this
show.
Thank you,
Joey. My anxiety is great. I don't feel angsty at all.
I love the perspective you bring to the show. I love the music you put out in the world.
Thank you.
I love you as a person. And
likewise.
I'm so excited to come to the wedding.
Yeah, man. I'm
if
looking forward to having
still
you guys.
Stands after this episode.
Of course.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
In fact, You're at a better table. You won't
just move
you
myself
won't be
up.
27 with my cousin Mike.
No, get the fuck out of here. You gotta put me at a fucking transplant table with a bunch of other Midwesterners.
I don't know that many.
Oh yeah, okay. So yeah, thank you so much. Let's talk about some shows that y'all have coming
yes,
up.
Yes, March 31st, I am playing Kate Hoos's cover band Extravaganza. Now, this show is important because it is a Punk Island benefit.
Word.
And Punk Island this year is June 23rd, a Saturday. The 1 year you sit out,
yep.
They give them the good
I know.
Day. So what does that say now
pretty,
going
pretty
forward?
That we had the day before I sat out. So I'm sure they gave it to me just to hold me in. And then they're like, no, I'm not doing it. So yeah. Yeah, six stages, fucking going to be great. Going to be a fantastic show. The lineup's going to be incredible.
Always is.
But the benefit on the 31st, on March 31st, it's a cover show, right?
It's a cover show. And Lady Bits, members of Lady Business, there's a bunch of members of a bunch of different bands.
Yeah, some great
doing
bands.
Doing White Stripes, Sleater-Kinney. I think Trashy's doing Against Me.
Yeah,
which
yep.
Caitlin was like, oh, I was going to go to that show. I'm glad you're playing acoustic. But I was going to go for the Trashy
yeah.
doing Against Me.
I love Against Me. I also love Sleater-Kinney, too, so I'm kind yeah. of stoked about this show
Christian
in general.
Death yeah. cover. And then
that's true. Al is playing in two bands on that show. He's playing in yes. the Christian Death cover. Mm-hmm. Al from Trashy is playing that, and he's playing Against Me. That's
he's
tough.
A fucking phenom.
He's a freak on the guitar. Yeah.
I will be playing some cool covers, maybe some Bad Religion.
Oh, shit.
Maybe some Alkaline Trio.
Well, that's
maybe
talking me out
hole?
Of the show a little bit. Maybe some what? What was
hole.
That? Oh, really?
Like, yeah, like the band that yeah, Courtney Love used to be in.
I know the band.
You know?
Yeah, that's cool. Some Bad Religion. Can I do some requests of Bad Religion songs, maybe?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to fucking holler at you about some requests for that.
You can. You can also.
Send you to Digital Boy.
You can. Ooh.
Should do it.
That's a good one. Yeah. I think right now I'm leaning towards Skyscraper because I'm going to make a whole speech about transplants.
Right.
What's going on in Brooklyn and
yeah.
Queens.
Okay. All right, cool. Well, that's the end of it then. No, let's. What about Insegree? So that's a huge show on the 31st.
Yeah.
Everyone should come to that. Where is that show at? Is that Cobra Club?
That show is at the Cobra Club.
Okay.
Which is one of my favorite places to play.
It's a blast.
And then April 7th at the Footlight will be Insegree, Oh the Humanity.
Oh, shit.
Jukebox Romantics and Hopeless Otis at the Footlight. The Footlight? Yeah.
Yeah, Footlight in Ridgewood, Queens. And Oh, the Humanity is from
Massachusetts.
Boston. Yeah, it's from Boston. They're a super good band, like
very
really
good.
Holding it down, a melodic
yes.
hardcore band.
Really love those guys. Really jealous that Mike Terry got to sing on their last EP and I did not.
Yeah, they're a really great band, so people should go to that. That's April 7th. What is that, a Friday?
It's a Saturday.
Oh, it's a Saturday.
Because
okay.
the night before, we're in Olives in Nyack with Jukebox, so
oh,
that
shit.
Should be interesting, too, because I don't think we've ever been up there.
Olives is the name of a city, or are you playing inside of an actual olive?
It's. I wish we could. I'd squeeze me, Bob, and Terry into a pee any day.
Yeah. you can interpret that however you want.
However you want, but do it the dirty way, the good way.
Olives is the name of the bar.
Olives is the name okay. of the bar, and it's right on the main strip in Nyack.
Some other shows, real quick. Skullcaster, my band Skullcaster, is playing a couple shows in April. April 15th, Skullcaster is playing with Rebelmatic and Trashy and Crack
so
Rock
good.
Steady 7. So fucking make sure you guys do it. It's a Sunday. It's a 5 p.m. show. It's at El Cortez in Bushwick.
Ooh.
Gonna
I
be
like
a fuck. I love the sound there. Ben, who works the sounding board there, the guy should get fucking Golden Globes and Oscars. He's the greatest
it's,
sound
it's
person.
It's you guys, Trashy,
Rebelmatic
and the Crack Steady 7?
Crack Rock Steady 7, yeah.
Jesus Christ, that's a great lineup.
That's a really
great
lineup.
We should all definitely go to that.
That's a fucking good one. And then April 25th is a Wednesday. I know it's a Wednesday, but relax for a second. It's a huge, we're doing a great show. It's going to be at the El Cortez as well, and we're bringing this band from Oregon in, from Eugene, Oregon. They're called Broken Dead. If you imagine like a female-fronted, more sort of melodic version of La Armada, That's really what we're looking at with this band.
Really?
It's fucking great. We play with them in Portland. They are awesome.
That is awesome.
The band is Broken Dead. Skullcaster's also playing that show. We're going to have a totally different show for that, so you can go to both and not hear the same thing. And Ola Muerte is going to be playing that show. And Sister Munch is also going to be playing that show.
I love Sister Munch.
It's going to be a fucking really good night. Show starts at 7. You'll be done by 11. You can go home.
Let's not pretend that half you motherfuckers are getting up to go to a job.
Exactly.
Most of you are just going to like roll out of bed and do whatever like social media
Have a mimosa or something on a Thursday.
You go to Starbucks with your laptop. Yeah. You'll be fine.
We're going to have a good time at Starbucks the next day. But before that, April 25th, make sure you're there. So a bunch of great shows happening in New York City. Hopefully, All Torn Up and Enziguri will be doing some shows together in out-of-town places.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Let's fucking do this.
Let's do it.
Thank you again, Davey, for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
Everybody out there who continues to listen to Dispatches every week. We will have an episode up about every 2 weeks. Go to dispatchesfromtheunderground.com. There's a merch section. There's a donate section. But the show's always for free, so make sure you subscribe to it on iTunes. There's a spot on our website for
it's
you to do
important.
That. Yep. Do it.
Gotta keep this going.
Rate it. Do it. Join us and fucking spread the word. Either way, we're going to be out here doing it.
That's right.
Yep. So we'll see you next time. Till then.
Get down.
We're going to end this episode with the brains behind that March 31st show that David's going to be playing, that David just talked about. That's going to be at Cobra Club here in New York City. This is a fantastic band with another bandmate of mine who I'm now in cop out with, an incredible musician and a wonderful human being who is running a stage at Punk Island and doing this benefit show on March 31st to raise some money to help her run a stage at Punk Island. Here is Kate, who is in her incredible band, Lady Business. Get down.